So we're looking at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Now tell me, who has already opened their presents this morning? Or even yesterday? Wow. Wow, lots of you. Okay. Who's still got some presents to open? We're not allowed to open our presents until after church in our house. So we get the stocking, but not the presents, not the big presents. Okay? They need to be sanctified first. Who got what they wanted? Who thinks they might have got what they wanted? Yeah? Well, we'll still wait and see later, shall we? You know, sometimes you ask for things you want, but sometimes you need to ask for things you need. Now, sometimes they can be the same thing. So, last year I wanted a notebook, but I like these notebooks with the nice soft leather outside, you see. I think it makes me look more professional. Trendier. But because they're more expensive than just your average kind of, you know, flip bit of notepaper, I put it on my Christmas list, you see, and I get that. And it's nearly time for a new one, as you can see. So yeah, that I need it, but I also want it. Sometimes though, it doesn't matter if you want it or not, you just know you need it. Something is so important, it's so vital, it's so necessary that you know you just need it, and so you put it on your Christmas list. Now, during December, some of us at Elmstead, we've been reading this book here. It's called Finding Hope Under Bethlehem Skies. And we've been reading through that every day. It's a slightly different look at the birth of Jesus, because it's looking at a part of the Bible that took place over 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. But in the events that that book of the Bible records, it looks at the life of three people who live in this little town of Bethlehem. And they're called Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. And in the events that happen in their lives in that little town of Bethlehem, they are pointing us forward to the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus. So why don't you turn with me in your Bibles, even if you're a young person, you can do this too. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. You'll find it on page 267, 267, if you're using one of the church Bibles. Turn with me there to the book of Ruth. Now, look at the first sentence in the book of Ruth, okay? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So, we're being told here that the things that are happening in the book of Ruth, the things that are recorded for us, happened in the time of the judges. Now, that is a time in the nation of Israel's history where they were ruled over by these people called the judges. And if you look to the page before Ruth, can you see what that book of the Bible is called? What's it called? Judges. Yeah, that's right. It's taking place. This is another book that takes place during the time of the judges. And look at the last sentence of that book, Judges 21:25. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. What's the problem they're telling us there? What's the problem? What's the problem in Judges 21:25? Go on, Sure. Yeah, everybody does what they think is right. Everybody can do what they want to do. Now, do you think that it would be good to live in a place like that, where you can do what you want? Do you think it would be good, where you can just do what you want to do? Yeah, I thank you for being honest, Theo. You're nodding yes. You see, everybody thinks it, but nobody wants to say it, because they know that that's not the answer we're really looking for. But yeah, you see, you might think it sounds good, but actually, when you read through the book of Judges and the book of Ruth, you discover that actually it wasn't all that good. You find out that actually it was pretty horrible to live in a place where people can just do whatever they want. Because when you can do whatever you want, people often end up being selfish. And sometimes they're even mean and unkind. And that means that there were lots of other people who ended up being scared or hurt or poor or lonely or without food. Did you see there in that first sentence of Ruth? There's a famine. It wasn't a very safe and happy place to live. I watched Home Alone last night. It's one of our little traditions, okay? And Kevin McAllister gets left home alone. And he's so excited because now he can do whatever he wants to do. His family aren't there to tell him what to do. And for a minute, it's really exciting and he loves it. And then he feels lonely. And then he gets scared. And then he gets sad. And there are bad people that come that want to do bad things. Now, what do you think Judges is saying? What do you think Judges is saying the people need to sort this out? They're in verse 25 again. So everyone gets to do as they all want. What do you think Judges is suggesting is the answer to this problem?
King.
A king. Thank you. Thank you. A king. They're saying you need a king, a good king, God's king, to come and sort it all out. Now, turn with me to the end of the book of Ruth. It's just a few pages over in chapter 4. Now, at the end of the story of Ruth, Ruth was this lady, at the beginning of the story, who was lonely and who was vulnerable. And she, by the end of the story, she's married this really good and kind man named Boaz. And they've had a baby together. And look there at chapter 4, verse 17. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, some of you know who David is. Who is David? Go on, Liesl. He is the king of Judah. He is, you're right, he was the king. He is the king that God gave to his people. The king that they needed to sort all the mess out from how where people have been living, how they wanted to live. You see, Ruth is this story of how God gives this amazing gift of a king, the amazing gift that the people really need. And God does it in the most amazing way. He takes a poor lady who has no husband, and he takes a kind and faithful man, and they're in a little town called Bethlehem, and through them he brings this great king. Now, do you know, I think we might have a similar problem to the people who lived in the time of the judges. We all live without a king. And I'm not talking about the fact that the queen's in charge of the country and we don't have a king. I'm talking about the fact that we all want to live how we want to live. The fact that we don't like having somebody else in charge telling us what to do. We want to do what we think is right. We want to live in the way that we decide is best. Have you guys ever said, when adults asked you to do something, have you ever said, I don't want to? Or do I have to? Have you ever said that? Your parents are nodding in a way that suggests you did. But you know what? Adults do the same thing. Don't think adults are any better. But we dress it up. We say, well, I've got to do what's best for me. I've got to do what's best for me and my family. It sounds different, but it's the same problem, you know. And sometimes that is because we do want to help our families, and sometimes we choose good things, but sometimes it can also be that we're selfish, and sometimes we're mean, and sometimes we're unkind. And that's why we live in a world where there is sadness, and where people are scared, and where people are alone, and where people are struggling. So we have the same problem, and that means actually maybe we need the same answer. Maybe we need a king. Do you know the amazing thing about Christmas is that God, it's telling us that God has already given us the king we need. Go back to Luke chapter 1, the first bit of the Bible we had read this morning. Flick right to the other end of the Bible. Luke chapter 1, you'll find it on page 1025. 1025. In fact, turn over to 1026, because that's the bit of Luke we need. Luke chapter 1 we need. Now, an angel has come to this unmarried lady called Mary, and he tells her that she's going to have a baby. And he tells her that it's going to be a very special baby. Now, look there at verses 32 and 33. Why is this baby going to be special? Tell me something about this baby that makes him special. Yeah, go on. He is going to be a king, but not just a king for a little bit of time. How long is he going to be king? Forever! That's right. Top of the class this morning. A king forever. He's always going to be alive, and he's always going to be reigning. Now, turn with me to Luke 2. The second bit of the Bible we had read to us this morning, in verse 4. Where is this very special king going to be born? Go on, Shah. Check again. Where's he going to be born? In Bethlehem. Well done. Yeah, that's right. That's because Joseph, who's his human, well, I don't know, he's not really his dad. How do I put it? He's the guy who's going to look after him like a dad whilst he's a baby. How's that? Theologically accurate enough for you? Good, right, okay. That's because Joseph, he's going to be born in Bethlehem because Joseph is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of King David. Which also makes him the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, two more greats, grandson of Ochbed, the baby that we just saw was born in Ruth. You see, just like God provided a king for Israel when they needed one in this incredible way through a poor unmarried lady and a kind and faithful but not very important man in this little town of Bethlehem, God is going to provide a king for the world, a king that we all need. And when Jesus was born, angels announced it to the shepherds. And look there at chapter 2 and verse 10. They say to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy." So they're coming to tell them, they're bringing all this great good news, and it's going to bring great joy. Who is that good news for? Who is the joy for? What does it say there? For all the people. Good news of great joy for everyone. And what is this good news? Verse 11. What's the good news? Go on, Charles. He is the Messiah. Yeah, that means the Messiah is another word for God's King. It's a special word for God's King. The good news is that a Savior, who is also God's King, has been born. And this is good news for everyone. The good news is that God has sent a King to be a Savior, to save us from the mess we've made of living in a way that is how we decide we want to live. And then in verse 14, this whole gang of angels come and they light up the dark sky. So it's like the brightest day that you've ever seen. And they're singing, and look what they're singing. They're singing peace. They sing about peace. Peace to those on whom God's favours rest. Remember, the result of us living in our own way, the result of us living how we want to live, sadness, selfishness, harm, pain, struggle, is conflict. But this King offers the opposite. He offers peace. See, when we choose in a way we want to do, when we choose to live in the way we want to live, it's what we call sin. Can you remember what sin stands for? One of the ways we've remembered sin this year, S. Shove off God. I. N. Shove off God. I'm in charge, not you. And that means not only do we have conflict in the world we live in, or between the people we live with, we have conflict between us and God. So God sends a King who can bring us peace. Peace with God. And then as we live with this King in charge, as we live with Jesus in charge, he brings us peace with one another. Now maybe you're a bit tired this Christmas. Not just tired because you were up wrapping presents late last night, or tired because you were trying to catch Father Christmas coming down the chimney. But maybe you're tired of the things of this world that make it a mess. Or maybe you're tired of the things in your own heart that make you a mess. And the way of sorting that out, it starts by sorting out the mess between us and God. And Jesus is the one who has come to do that. Jesus may not be the gift you asked for this Christmas, but he really is the gift we all need this Christmas. And if we ask God for this gift, he will joyfully give it to us. Jesus really is the one who brings light into the darkness of this world. He really is the only one who can bring us peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace in this world. So when you do get to open your presents this morning, I hope you enjoy them, but I also hope you spend time thinking, am I going to accept the gift of Jesus? Am I going to carry on living without a King, doing whatever I want to do? Or will I accept the gift of King Jesus? And will I trust him, love him, and live with him in charge? Jesus is the most amazing gift. He is wonderfully kind. He is perfectly good. We can trust him completely. And he really will save us and protect us and provide for us all the days of our life and into eternity. Let me pray. Father God, we want to thank you once again this morning for that wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you chose to send him, and that he came willingly to be our Saviour and to be our King. Lord, we are sorry that we live in ways that have made a mess of ourselves and a mess of the world around us. We're sorry that we are always so quick to want to be in charge and to do our own thing. Well, please forgive us, and please help all of us this morning to accept the gift that you've offered us in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him as the one who needs to save us, and to accept him as our King, that we may live joyfully joyfully with him in charge, and that we might know true peace, peace with you, our Creator, our Judge, and our Father, peace with one another. And we look forward to that day when Christ returns and peace will reign everlasting in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.